As I've said a couple times today, I'm really glad to be sharing time with Josh here today. And just so you know, this is not a routine type of thing. I mean, not just sharing the pulpit, but to have someone like Josh who came up out of the neighborhood, not with any deep church connection among us, and began going to Awana and then youth ministry, and then became involved in the broad ministry of the church, and then went away to college and went to Sweden and biked across the country and fell in love with Ida and got married and has been working in ministry and is now going to seminary in the fall. This is not an everyday sort of thing. It happens. Of course it happens. There are all kinds of stories about call into ministry in all kinds of different ways. But what's so unique about this is that this is part of our story too. And even if Josh left active involvement here and went to Chicago long before you became part of this church, this is part of your story too. Because this is what the church does. It's what we need to do more, and we need to do it better to call out gifts and to nurture, to plant and nurture seeds of faith from the earliest days to the latest days. From babies and kids to 90-year-olds. For people who are looking for community, who are looking for a safe place to grow and to ask questions and be who they are, and hopefully to see Jesus among us. This is what we do. It's what we're called to do, and we need to do it more. To raise people up as committed, authentic followers of Jesus. And obviously, it doesn't always happen. There are too many people to count who, at one point, found their place among us in whatever way, maybe for a few teenage years, or maybe from birth to high school. And then they're gone. And maybe they come back, maybe at Christmas, maybe at Easter, maybe on Mother's Day, maybe. But we can lose track of them. And they can lose track of us. And I don't mean losing track of Bloomington Covenant Church. I mean losing track of the church and all that means. For too many people, it fades from view and fades out of their life. And faith and worship and prayer and scripture become something left behind from childhood, like an old swing set, no longer used. So lately I've been remembering, pulling up into my mind, names and faces of people who have disappeared along the way. Especially younger people. Confirmation students. Youth group kids, young couples that I married. And I know that we could have done things differently, could have done things better, always, to keep connected, to nurture and challenge genuine and growing faith. And I know that it goes both ways. But we need to continually stay on mission with this. Because people disconnect, and sometimes when that disconnection happens, faith and the growth-giving practices of faith, they get left behind. And they fade to black. And it happens in church families and non-church families, in rich families and poor families, in pastors' families, in all kinds of families. Not always, thankfully, but often enough. That we need to talk about it and pray about it and be proactive about this. Teaching and modeling the depth of what it means to follow Jesus. What He's done for us. And the beauty and wonder and richness of what God has for us. So taking our cue from Paul, with all that in mind, one of the most powerful things we can do is what he was doing for the people who received this letter, Ephesians. Paul kept asking about them to God, asking God to do things in their lives. He kept on asking, praying for them, praying bold, outlandish, outrageous prayers. So I'm going to read this passage and talk for just 4 or 5 minutes, and then Josh is going to come to the pulpit. So if you would open to Ephesians, I'll read from Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking, that's that continual asking. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be named, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul kept praying for these people, ongoing way, praying, asking God to do in them what only he could do. And Paul prayed a couple of basic things, which are the very things that we can keep on praying for each other and for others. So let's pray these for Josh and Ida as they enter seminary in the fall, as they prepare and enter. Let's pray these for each other, from newborns to 90-year-olds. Let's pray these for people who have maybe slipped off of our radar, who easily can fade from our view. And let's remember to pray these things for ourselves. So here's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, praying this from a jail cell in Rome. Verse 17, he prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in order to know God better. Wisdom. Wisdom is deeper than just knowledge and deeper than information. You don't find wisdom on Facebook. Wisdom integrates deep life truth into practices and values, into life and direction. Deep life truth gets integrated with wisdom. And revelation. Revelation is having things uncovered by God, uncovered and then lit up. The truth of God that then becomes essential for life practice and for life orientation, all by way of God's Spirit revealing the truth of God to us. Paul prayed, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Then Paul prayed that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. And it's a way of describing that wisdom and revelation moving into the very center of their lives, into their hearts, and to be lit up by it. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you would know, therefore, these three other things. Hope, inheritance, and power. Hope. Years ago, a New Testament scholar summed up hope in this way. Hope is faith standing on tiptoe. Hope is faith standing on tiptoe. It's having a glimpse. It's being caught by the bigger picture of life. Life with Jesus Christ. And seeing where God is carrying everything, that it's all headed toward him. Hope, as we read in Hebrews, is the anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hope is the anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So Paul prayed that they would know, that we would know, the hope to which he has called you, and, secondly, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Inheritance. It's every promise of God fulfilled. Every promise fulfilled. Some of it seen and known and tasted here and now, with infinitely more yet to come. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those who love Him. Beyond what we can imagine. Inheritance. And then thirdly, power. His incomparably great power for us who believe, which is the very same power that raised Jesus from death to life and placed Him in the absolute highest position of authority in heaven and on earth forever and ever. Power. Of the many things in life that we have absolutely no power over, here are the ultimate ones. Sin, death, and evil. We have no ultimate power over these. Look at the news. Look at Orlando. Look at what goes on in our own minds and hearts. By His incomparably great power for us who believe, He says, He promises, we are freed. We are freed from the condemning stranglehold that these have on us. Because He reigns, they don't, even when it's hard for us to see it and know it. So wisdom and revelation, eyes of our hearts enlightened, hope, inheritance, power. Paul prayed that they, and by implication that we, would receive all of this and know this and then carry this forward to others. That's the calling of everyone who follows Jesus. So that no one will not know all that's offered through faith in Jesus Christ. All of this is embedded into Josh's call into ministry. All of this is embedded into our call to follow Jesus. So let's pray this for each other. That we would know that this would be our prayer, what Paul prayed. And that as God leads Josh and Ida preparing for seminary and then into the intensity of seminary in those 3 years of very intense work and then everything that comes after it, that God would use Josh and Ida in profound ways as we pray He would use us. I'd like to invite Josh to come up.
Good morning. If I had a prayer for today, my prayer would be that you would all be reminded of this hope and this power that Paul talks about to the Ephesians, that you possess because of your faith in Christ. My name is Josh, and I'm going to tell you some stories about this church and the people here, some in the pews. But it's my hope that you will be, whether you know me or not, you'll be proud to know that a large part of the person I am today standing in front of you is because of this church and the community and the people sitting in these pews. It's because of Bloomington Covenant and the people embodying God's love to me over and over again that I am up here today, and I am forever grateful. My first memory that I can think of, and I was going back into my memory brain, my first memory of Bloomington Covenant was playing balloon basketball as an elementary school kid. And I think it was at Awana, and it was most likely a random game that Don Anderson came up with the night before. But it stuck as a fun, vivid memory for me that I hold on to as one of my first experiences. And I was invited to this church on that day, that night, the first one that I can remember, by a friend named Stevie Bullard. He's a good friend at the time, and he invited me, and I said, sure. And we played balloon basketball. And the second memory that I remember of Bloomington Covenant Church was the one that comes up, was one of a Bible verse reading competition that, again, Don Anderson was leading. And I think I remember this so much because the goal was to read as many Bible verses as you possibly could over, like, a span of weeks. And there was prizes and what have you. And I am a naturally competitive human. And so I remember this was the first time of picking up a Bible for myself. And I don't remember what it was about or what it really was, but I remember I need to read as many possible verses as I can to get the prize that Don Anderson was going to give. And so I would like I would look and try to find like the super short verses, like Matthew 1, Jesus's lineage of like just names that I couldn't pronounce. And I just like get 40 verses real quick and I record it and I get all excited. And I still remember that because it was the first time I really picked up a Bible for myself, not having any idea what it really meant or had on my life. In middle school, I followed Don Anderson's son, Tony, who became a good friend of mine still to this day. Tony, we went into the youth room where all the intimidating high school kids were, and Tony's older sister, Chelsea, was there, and they were all, I was very scared. I remember this very vividly, walking in and being absolutely intimidated, and Tony was really cool and knew everybody, but they were super kind to me. They loved me really well. And I remember leaving. The memory that I have is I remember saying to myself, when I grow up and get into high school, I want to be like these nice kids are to younger kids. And from eighth grade onwards, throughout high school, is really where this church became like a second family. I remember getting confirmed in eighth grade right here. One of the things we did for confirmation, I don't know if they still do this today, but you had a kind of express, there was some sort of like, I played drums. They had a drum set, and it was one of the first times I ever played in front of people, and I played a drum set, and I think back to that memory, laughing to myself, because I can only imagine sitting in the congregation, what they thought about at the time, both holding their breath and adoration and terror that this kid is playing these loud drums for the first time in this beautiful sanctuary. And the truth is, whether they enjoyed it or not, this church encouraged me and they bought a drum set. I don't know if it was for me, but I felt like I was the only one who started playing it. And they invited me to come and play during the service. And it's because of that invitation to play drums that I started coming on Sunday services and not just a youth group. It was at youth group in high school now where I truly began to blossom into the journey that has gotten me here this morning. It was the many friends that came week after week at youth group, that went to camp every summer, that went to up north to the canoe trip, the adventure trip that you all will go on. It's these friendships and deep connections and the importance of intentionally walking through life together like a community does. I learned the importance of that. And when things and times got hard in high school for me personally, whether with friends or family, that youth group and soon the larger body of Bloomington Covenant became that second family I needed. And they cared for me. You all asked how I was doing, how my family was doing, how my friends were doing over and in little ways. But it built up this love of God built up. And I'm forever grateful for people like Karna Anderson, Dan Olson, Joyce Berg, Kathy Williamson, Raleigh and Val Pearson, who don't go anywhere anymore, the Laren family, the Holmgren family, the Anderson family. The list goes on and on. Every single one of them showed me God's love. And they cared for me. And they engaged with me. They looked me in the eye and they said, "How are you?" No other adult in no other space of my life did that. And that became like a family. And goodness, I clung to this church when I needed a solid foundation in high school. This second family of mine was the consistency that I needed when life felt like it turned upside down. And I didn't really think twice about me being this neighborhood kid. I don't think that came till later. Like, oh, yeah, my family didn't go here. But I was that neighborhood kid, and I became a part of that fabric of this church family. Not to discredit my family one bit, how much they loved me. They're filling up a whole row here to support me today. And they have loved me over and over and over. But the value of having this consistency, this other family, more adults pouring and loving into me. This was not my family's church. This was my place. You were my people. And I needed it along with my family. And it is the reason why I'm up here today. That God's love, it is because of this love that you shared with me that got me through the tough parts of high school and family life. And it is because of this God's love that you showed to me that I desired to go to North Park University, where I had no idea even existed, but you all talk so fondly of, and it changed my life. It's because of God's love that I held on to and continue to hold on to the immeasurable value that a church family has to every single person that walks in the door. It's because of your love that you continued showered onto me that I wanted to like love people, whoever it was. And in high school, one of the small ways I did that was make packed up lunches and rode downtown with Tony Anderson and handed out lunches to homeless who may need love in that way. And we called it SWAP, and now it's become this incredible ministry called Closet of Hope. Man, I just wanted to pour out the love that you all gave me. And it is because of your love and you adopting me into the family of God that I feel called to go to seminary. And one day lead a church that continues to love people in the same way that Bloomington Covenant loved me. All of this love from countless people, I didn't know it at the time. But I believe it was rooted in God's love, in this love of God, this love that comes from God, in the story of which God that put on skin and walked the earth amongst us, and he loved people that needed it most. When I needed in high school, you showed me that love, and that was God. It is in that God's love that my life was changed forever and continues to change other people's lives. And man, this love of God that even death cannot swallow up. And that's like the best news still. That even nowadays when life feels like it's getting a hold on me or feels like it's swallowing us whole, that the story of Christ and his love says that death will not have the last word. God's love poured out day over day, week over week. There's power that has changed me. And it's because of you. And I'm standing up here in front of you all telling you that I'm going to seminary in hopes that I can lead a church like this one day only because God's love was shown through all of you when I was a child. Week by week, day by day, and that power continued to change over my life, over my whole childhood. And I have a hunch, I just have a hunch, because I feel it myself at times, that this love of God that has power to change lives, we forget about it all too often. Like we forget the power in it. We forget because this power of God's love is rarely displayed in like a single frame, in a single moment of time. It's not usually doesn't happen in like a switch of like, oh, this is it. There's the power of God's love. But rather, the power of God's love that changed my life forever was the persistent love that this family of God showed me in the small ways over weeks and years and my entire childhood. And it's the reason why that's powerful when it adds up. The power of God's love is found in the weekly gathering, showing up every Sunday. In the last minute preparation of a balloon basketball game, the ridiculous contest of reading the Bible, the church buying me a drum set to play, the bunches of money that we feel that we send kids off to chick, for women like Joyce Berg, who has prayed for me persistently since I was a child, and I still get letters in the mail reminding me that she's praying for me. That is powerful. Small things that we feel mundane and we forget the power it holds. It's the small acts of love over and over that gives it so much power. And I'm convinced out of my mind that countless people need this love. It seems more and more the powerful love of God is needed, and especially a polarized world today. And I have not heard of or come across an institution such as the church that is intentionally walking and trying their best to live into the life of loving God and loving people the best to their abilities. This exists, and it is such good news. Oh. So Pastor Tim mentioned you're going through Ephesians, and these words of Paul writing to the church of Ephesus still rings true today as I stand here speaking to the church of Bloomington. So I adapted it so that the words may ring true from Ephesians 1, 15 to 19 in all of your hearts. Let it be reminding you of the hope and the love and the power that you hold that is coming from and rooted in God. Paul and I say this. It is for all the reasons in my story I just shared that when I am reminded of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, that I never stop giving thanks to all of you, remembering Bloomington Covenant in my prayers, knowing that I am who I am because of all of you. I pray that the eyes in front of me may be enlightened today from my story in order that you may know the hope that you carry, that you've given to me, the hope that you carry in Christ, the hope that Christ has called you to. And for each of you to be reminded of the incomparable power of love that we forget all too often. But it adds up. This power of love that all of you have because you believe in God, in Christ. Man, that's powerful. Please, it's my prayer that you're encouraged today from my story and your story. Please be encouraged to know that God's love and his power is still with all of you. Man, this is the best place you could be, and so many people need it. And I thank all of you as I entered into seminary from the bottom of my heart, knowing that I was adopted in the family of God because of all of you. And you are a huge, huge reason I am who I am today and feel called to lead a church in order to love more neighborhood kids, more families, from newborns to 90-year-olds. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. And could I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I am humbled at your feet of your power and your love that absolutely changes lives. And Lord, I thank you for the many names on my mind and the many names of the people sitting in this room and this entire church family. Lord, I pray that they continue adopting everyone into this family of God, that they understand the power and the beauty that this place is, and how the power of your love changes so many lives. Lord, I thank you so much that you remind us that we are enough, that we are trying our best, and that you hold our hands as we walk and hold others' hands. And Lord, let us continue being this family of God, both here in Bloomington and now as I enter seminary in Chicago, Lord. I pray that we are spiritually connected through prayer. And Lord, I am forever grateful for this space and for these people. Bless them over and over and over for the small ways every single day in which they love you and love their neighbors. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. So good to be in ministry together with you. Let's stand as we sing. To God be the glory.